Today on The Grid, we are talking about surprising gear that's changed the way you shoot. And we've got some very special in-studio guests. Joining us in studio, our Photoshop wizard, Kirk Nelson. Awesome portrait photographer, Sam Haddix. Also, Sam is a smoking guitar player, so let me say that again. Awesome portrait photographer and smoking guitar player, Sam Haddix. And Skyping in all the way from Europe, it's Cheeky Nando. I am announcing my next travel photography workshop. The Real Rocket Man is here with some awesome images. We've got Lightroom, Photoshop tips, and photography trivia. We've got awesome giveaways that someone's going to win watching live today, and it may be you, and it all starts in just 23.2 seconds. Let's go!
Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the tripod alternative that is changing the world. Everybody has a Platypod. You should too. Go to platypod.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another live episode of The Grid. It's Wednesday, 1 o'clock East Coast time. We're glad you're here. I'm here. Mr. Kuna is here.
Hey Scott, we got a bunch of guests joining us
today. Woo, we do. Ooh. We got some great, great guests joining us today. Yep. We've got so much to cover, and I got to pick up my daughter from high school at 2:30, so we're going to end The Grid on time today.
All right. So speaking of ending on time, we got to give away a bunch of prizes on this week.
Tell us what they could win.
So first, they're going to be able to win the Platypod elbow and arm. So you see the elbow here and the arm that attaches. Nice accessory for your Platypod Ultra, Max, whatever, Extreme that you can attach to it and use it as a clamp. It's great. Super clamp. And then we're also going to be giving away a copy of Scott's travel photography book.
Yeah.
You can win that. And then we're going to give away an ebook copy of the Light It, Shoot It, Retouch It book. Write It, Shoot It, Retouch It book, which you can get over on Amazon. It should be in possibly a little sooner than what it said.
Yeah.
But at least by there, by February 21st.
Yeah, because so they're in the warehouse now.
Yeah, get your order in. And then also we're going to be giving away a copy of On One Effects 2023, which is a great plugin for Photoshop and Lightroom. And then we're going to be giving away one V-flat and one dual board XL. This is for U.S. shipping only from V-flat World. Everybody can get 10% off over at V-flat Worlds by using the code KELBY10 at checkout for 10% off. So there you go. Go check them out. But if you want to enter any of those prizes, just leave us a comment. No matter where you watch The Grid, we monitor all the channels. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you'd like to win. And then in those comments, also tell us where you're from. If you have any questions about the show, any questions for the guest, any questions about anything we show, anything, just ask in the comments. So there you go.
All right. Yes, we're very chatty today. Yes. All right. So first, how about them Cowboys?
Oh, boy.
How about them Cowboys? Well, just like last year when I told you, they're going to choke again. They rise up and choke again. Let me tell you how bad their choke was. I don't know if you know this. The official Dallas Cowboys Twitter account actually called out Dak Prescott by name and said, Dak Prescott lost two fumbles. Dude, when was the last time an NFL team, the actual team,
the social media team
said, it's his fault. His fault. It was so bad. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed it because I am not a Cowboys fan. Let me tell you why. Only one reason I'm not a Cowboys fan. Because the whole world, they go, oh, it's America's team, and they make such a fuss over the Cowboys, right? They make such a fuss over Tony Romo. Oh, Tony Romo, elite quarterback. Hear me. Tim Tebow went further in the playoffs than Tony Romo ever did. Blaine Gabbert. What's the difference between Blaine Gabbert and Tony Romo? Blaine Gabbert has a Super Bowl ring. And Tony Romo, all credit aside, is one of the best commentators.
He is. He's very
ever.
Good. But you're right. I mean, ever. That's when you really look back at it.
So I call my son. My son's also not a Cowboy fan for the same reasons I'm not. Because everyone's, oh, it's the Cowboys. And I said to my son, now my son is 26 years old. So we kind of grew up with football together and we talk football all the time. And so I call him up and I'm like, man, how about that? You know, loss, and we're going back and forth. And I said, do you realize that the Buccaneers, it has been 29 years since the Cowboys went to not the Super Bowl, even made it to the NFC Championship game. Now, I'm talking to my son, And I said, you know, son, that the Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have won 2 Super Bowls in that time when the Cowboys haven't even made it to the NFC Championship game. And nobody talks about the Bucs like, oh, the elite Bucs. Nobody talks about the Bucs like that. But they're still like, oh, the Cowboys. And then my son said something that was really shocking. He says, Dad, they haven't been to the NFC Championship game since before I was born.
It's true. It's true. And hey, and this is hard because in my family,
I know
I am second. The Cowboys are my second team, right? So the Bucs are my first team.
Yeah.
But that's when it gets down to it, is like the Cowboys, they're very painful.
All right.
To be a fan of.
I had to get that out of my system. If you really want to enjoy this, go watch Skip and Shannon from the day after, so Monday's show. All right.
So we're back to the photography podcast.
Then, yes, right? I got more stuff. All right, I want to announce today, because I have a special guest standing by, I want to announce, because I've been teasing that I would announce today, when is my next photography workshop. So just like twice a year, I go to some awesome destination with a group of just 12 photographers. We go to some incredible destination. We do a travel photography workshop. We shoot. We do post-processing. We do all this stuff. And I do it in different cities all over the place. I am super excited about where I'm doing this workshop. This April, the 12th to the 15th, we're going to be 12 photographers and me. We are going to Lisbon, Portugal, for the Alluring Lisbon Travel Photography Workshop.
Nice.
And I got a very special guest. Mimo Madani, of course, will be teaching with me because Mimo and I do these together. But we've got a very special guest. He is a Lisbon-based photographer. He's one of the coolest guys you will ever meet. He's a wonderful photographer. And he was my host in Lisbon when I went there. He knows Lisbon like nobody knows Lisbon. And I'm going to bring him on right now. Yep. His name is Fernando Santos, but you may know him as Cheeky Nando.
So, hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Cheeky.
Good to see you, buddy.
He's also a purveyor of sweets as well.
He is a purveyor of sweets. So, Cheeky, are you ready for us to come over in April?
I'm ready. And guess what? There will be some secret badges ready.
Ooh, I'm a friend of Cheeky Nando.
Everyone looks for those at Photoshop World.
Yep.
Well, I guess the 12 lucky ones in Lisbon will get a special edition. I know they'll end up in eBay selling for thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
So that people get gear for that. But, well, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I've had mine up on eBay for
anyway,
a few years.
So a few years ago, I had not really thought that much about Lisbon. I always heard it was a beautiful city. And a few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he just come back from Lisbon. He said, Scott, I've been all over the world. I've been all over Europe. You can't name a city in Europe I haven't been to. And I went to Lisbon, and he said it was absolutely amazing. He said it's one of the most beautiful cities. He's a photographer, so he's like one of the most beautiful cities to photograph. And so then I became friends with Cheeky Nando after that. And so then I knew I had a friend there. So if I went to Lisbon, and Cheeky's like, dude, if you come over here, I'll take you to all the great places to shoot. And he did, and we had a wonderful experience. Lisbon is everything that you've heard it was. The food is phenomenal. The people are great. The English is widely spoken. And Cheeky Nando's there. And not only does Cheeky Nando speak English quite well.
Well, you know, but that's another thing about like you're talking
Portuguese.
About is you are going into a different environment. It is nice sometimes to go with 12 other photographers, especially people that know the local area and able to take you around just so that way you don't have to put up your guard. You can just be focused on photography.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to worry about anything because we're going to be moving you around, shaking and baking, cruising around in a bus with Cheeky Nando, a couple of bottles of wine. It's
a lot of good food, I'm sure. That's usually involved.
Food in Lisbon. All right.
Food is good. Food is good.
So,
and inexpensive. So.
It's very inexpensive. It's also one of the top 10 safest cities. It is known as one of the top 10 safest cities to travel anywhere. It's just wonderful. It's clean. It's beautiful. It's fun. I like everything about Lisbon. And one of my favorite people, Cheeky Nando, is there.
Never had anybody complain.
All right. So, Cheeky Nando, tell us why people would love to come to Lisbon.
Oh, well, I guess because I'm here. That's the
reason. That's the number one. Number one.
No, just kidding. Well, you know, Lisbon, it, for me, it's a little difficult sometimes to see that how people enjoy things that are... I'm so used to that, but then I see people photographing beautiful tile. And when I look at the photos that you guys create, it's like, wow, that's really nice. Like, I've never seen it before, but it's been in front of my eyes all my life. So there's a ton of different opportunities from landscape, from street photography, for architecture, food photography, well, you name it. And it's a lot of fun. I believe you guys pick the very perfect location for your hotel, which is perfectly located so that you can walk within to a lot of the main attractions. So that would be good. And of course, I'm sure there'll be other stuff that we'll have to take a bus, because not everything is within a walking distance. I mean, Portugal is a small country. Lisbon is a small city compared to U.S. standards, but it's not everything within a walking distance.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty sprawling city. There's really great high views, and the city is on the water. So it's on the mouth of a river that goes right out into the ocean. So it's where the river meets the ocean, and there's just some amazing photo opportunities there.
Yeah, there's the travel opportunities. There's also the landscape opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
There. Yeah,
it's all there. Lisbon really is one of those cities that has it all. I truly think it is one of the most beautiful cities in all of Europe. It is either the first, depending on who you read, either the first or second oldest city in all of Europe. So it's an amazing city, and the architecture, it's got this old world architecture, and Cheeky Nando just mentioned it a moment ago. They're very famous for their tile. So the buildings are very colorful. They have these beautiful tile, these ceramic tiles everywhere. Oh my gosh, it's just, you know. Hey, anybody that's watching that's been to Lisbon, just shoot us a note of what you thought in the comments. And but anyway, Cheeky Nando is part of our workshop, so that's a first.
That's huge.
So there's 3 instructors and 12 students. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And Cheeky Nando, let me tell you, he knows all the places. He knows all. He's got all the hookups. And it's going to be so much fun. And
it's going to be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it really is.
And Cheeky Nando is also, like me, he's very tech heavy. He could figure out any setting, anything.
Yep. Nando knows his stuff.
Very much.
He knows his stuff.
Help finding glass being replaced on the next day or the same day. I mean, some people just break their 70-200 2.8.
Yeah, I dropped my lens while I was there, but Cheeky Nando did help me get the next day. I had another 70-200.
There you go.
Well, you did the miracle. I just drove you there. So.
Yeah. Oh, can we show that website, the workshop website again? All right. That picture is taken with Cheeky Nando. I passed it on the way to go get my lens repaired or replaced. Actually, I've got a loaner lens, but Lisbon is just a joy. It really is, and you're going to come back
timeless.
With incredible pictures. You are going to come back with pictures that make your friends and neighbors sick. Now, where do you go to sign up for this workshop? If you want to grab one of the last few seats that are left, go to scottkelbyworkshops.com. Go there. Grab one of those seats and you'll be with me and world-class photographer Mimo Madani, and you'll be with Cheeky Nando in one of the most beautiful cities in all of Europe. And it's not like Paris where it's been shot to death or Rome where it's been shot to death. You're going to come back with pictures that are going to make people go, now where is this? I got to go there. You're going to hear a lot of that.
Even the other side of it is there's places that have been maybe shot more. But going again with a group like that, knowing where to go and knowing where to position yourself, you'll be in the best spots.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people go and shoot stuff, but they just don't have the best angles, best spots.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take you. We're going to be shooting every day at dawn. We're going to be shooting at sunset. We've got classroom time where you're learning the post-processing and all the travel techniques. We just got a very, very fun day and a long siesta in the middle of it. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to bring Cheeky on because I'm very excited to be going back to Lisbon. It is an amazing city, and I'll be bringing a group of people with me, Cheeky. So be ready for us.
I'm ready. I can't wait. When is that again? April 12th to 19th?
It's the 12th to the 15th. 12th to the 15th. Yep. In beautiful Portugal. You fly right into Lisbon.
Let me tell you one thing. If anyone is considering to go and say, oh, I could bring my wife or I could bring my husband, if only they could go out and do some shopping while I'm doing some photography. Lisbon has stores too, and it's
oh man, do they ever.
So just bring your husband or your wife, you go shoot and they'll go shopping and everyone will be happy.
There you go.
Oh yeah, and we have the afternoons free because the light's crappy. We do we work mostly in the morning and at night.
So, yeah, that's what you do.
The afternoons workshops are free. It's we got a long siesta after lunch, and then we pick it back up when we go do some shoots and stuff. Okay, so that's it. ScottKelbyWorkshops.com. I hope you get to can join me and Mimo and Chiki Nando in Lisbon. Thanks, Chiki. Good seeing you, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll see you soon. All right, a couple other really quick things, and we got to take a quick break. In 13, less than 2 weeks, the B&H photo Depth of Field Conference. Yeah. I wanted to say optic. Depth of Field is coming up. It's in 12 days and 19 hours in New York City. So, guys, this is the thing about this. If you want to go to New York, you can go to New York, and the two-day conference is free. You can attend in person or you can watch online. All you have to do is go RSVP. You can do it right from bnhphoto.com. And you'll see. And look, there's Joe McNally. There's Dixie Dixon, Peter Hurley. I'm there. It's great. Oh, Christina Shirk's there. Lots of great people. Roberto Valenzuela. All right. David Brommer.
There's David Brommer, the MC.
Love David Brommer. Anyway. Yep. It's going to be a great time, and would love to have you there. It's coming up here just in a couple of weeks, so I hope to see you there. I'm doing four classes. I'm like doing a live shoot and then three classes, so I hope to check you out. I'll be doing some travel photography stuff, as I tend to like to do. After that, I'm off to Zurich, Switzerland with my brother. My brother Jeff and I are going to Zurich, and we booked our flights this week. We're going to go to Zurich, and then we're going to go to Zermatt, and we're just going to kind of cruise around and drive around somewhere in Switzerland. So that's coming up, and you can't come. You can come. You guys can't come because we're like sneaking around.
Sneaky.
It's very sneaky.
Very, very sneaky.
That's me and my brother. All right, then I'm doing the Outsiders Conference coming up in this March. So it is an outdoor nature photography in Utah. So that's going to be great. And if you want to come to that, you can go to, what is it, outsidersphoto.com?
Yep. And then if you want the other side of it, if you want the nighttime, daytime, you want the nighttime side of it, you can go over to the Nightscapers Conference. I'm going to be teaching over there at the Nightscapers Photo Conference in the same place that Scott will be teaching that, just at a different time of year. And then if you want to also take it a step further with the nighttime stuff, if you go over to my website over at ericuna.com, I have a Milky Way workshop that we're going to be doing this summer. So check that out over at
ericuna.com. All right. Now, what? Oh, I had one more last thing. What was it? When we come back, here's what we got coming up after the break. We got a great guest joining us. We've got a Photoshop tip, but you got to see these pictures that Eric Kuna took. Eric's taken a lot of amazing pictures. These are otherworldly, but they were taken here on Earth. Stick around, we'll be right back.
There are so many genres of photography where you're locked out of getting the good shots. Like you can't get close and you can't get into that special area. The pros can get there, they have special access and stuff, but you know what the great equalizer is? Air shows. Air shows are exploding for photographers. They love it because you can get right down in front. You got the same access. You can come back with shots that will absolutely blow everybody away. That's what I love about shooting air shows.
Yeah, in this class, what we're gonna do is we're gonna break down all that stuff that you need to know to shoot your first air show, like the settings, how to program your camera, what lenses, what bodies you need. And then we're gonna get to the important stuff, like composition and framing, where we're gonna break down all that for you so you can be a master the first time you go out to your show.
We're gonna show you how to shoot jets, how to shoot props, how to shoot the statics. When you come back, your shots are gonna look like a pro's. So come and check out our brand new class exclusively at Kelby One.
Let me ask you a question. Where's the best place to do your post-processing for the travel images that you shot on your phone? I'm telling you where it's at. It's poolside. That's the thing. You're still on vacation. You're enjoying yourself. You're having a great time. You're like, I'm going to take a few hours off. I'm going to chill out by the pool. And I'm going to edit my photos. And that's what we're going to do in part two of my class on shooting your travel photography with an iPhone. So in part one, we took the shots. In part two, we're going to bring them into Lightroom. Actually, they're already in Lightroom, but I'll tell you how to do all that automatically. And then we're going to go through the whole post-processing steps right on your phone or right on your tablet, whichever one you're using. Using Lightroom, it's going to rock. Everything's going to be synced back and ready to go. When you get home, all your images are there. They're done. You're having a great time. And it all happens in real time because you're by the pool editing your images in Lightroom. I hope you'll check out part two of my class on using the iPhone for your travel photography.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by B&H Photo, the professional source since 1973.
Heyo, we're back.
We moved around the set.
We moved around. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Kirk, to the set. Kirk, this is not your first time on The Grid.
It is not. I've been here before.
You are. We're very glad to have you back. Kirk is here doing some classes for us for Kelby One. He does a lot of stuff really good. Photoshop's one. He seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, he's really good at that Photoshop.
He's all right.
I've been doing a little bit of it.
I think he's getting better.
I'm hoping so. I'm trying hard.
No, he's a freaking wizard. So we got this topic today. There's a couple things that we want to do. First, Kirk, I want you. You're about to have your mind blown with these pictures. Now, I don't say that a lot.
This is hard.
Okay, I don't want to set you up for disappointment, right?
Somebody says,
these are incredible. I'm telling you, I've seen Eric Kuna take pictures over the years that are amazing. But what he did with these that you're about to see, now I'm going to let him set the story up. If he's not entering these in contests, because nobody has these, there is literally no one on earth that has these shots but him. Take it away, Mr. K.
So, obviously you guys know I work a lot of rocket stuff, a lot of rocket companies. There's a startup that is starting up out in the West Coast. We got engaged and doing some projects together. And they are testing, like I've been doing a lot of their product stuff. You know, so they're actually in the startup phase. They're building their engines. They're building their test stands, all that stuff. So one of the things was capturing their new test stand. So they have a new rocket design, which is basically it's a circular engine. So it has these circular engine bells, which you'll see in a second, that then create this huge virtual engine bell up in the atmosphere.
So it's not just one engine.
It's going to be 30 separate engine bells around one engine creating this thrust, which you kind of have to see it. But once you see it and you see all these like engines firing down, just think that that's going to be up in the atmosphere, taking spacecrafts into space, and then able to deorbit that spacecraft after releasing the satellites. So
deorbitation.
Very cool stuff. But so got to, you know, get on their facility. We worked together. We did scouting. We did all the planning. And then basically we're running these hot fire tests. So looking at that,
hot fire tests. There's a word you don't get to use every day.
Yeah. As opposed to cold fire tests.
Yeah, these are hot fire.
So these are hot fire
basically
tests.
You're testing the engine, you're putting it through all the paces to make sure that it can withstand what you need it to withstand. Just looking at it, this is the actual test stand.
Wow.
So you can see that ring? That ring is all these engines are in there, you have all these bells basically up in here. right? So then what we were able to do is actually capture the test fire. So we did this especially, I had them do it at certain times. We did it actually at night to accentuate this, because you know I'm a night photographer. I love to really take it up a notch, but able to really capture all the detail.
That looks like it's Photoshop.
What's going on? This is real life. Like, this actually happened. Like, you know, like you look at some of these pictures and you're like, what is even happening? So it looks almost like a lot of people say like Star Wars, like some kind of like, like CGI.
Yeah.
But this is like that. No, that is actual. Real. Like that is my.
That's crazy.
That's a Sony A7 IV with a 24-105 on it, just standing right there, being triggered by sound, and that's a Canon R6. So there you go. So you know, just these cool. Now this was an interesting one. So I actually was able to mount a camera underneath these 15 thrusters. I'll have to, when I have time, put together like the whole thing, because I actually captured this. This camera was actually heat treated and actually had a blade of shielding on it to keep it from melting.
Wow.
The camera did not melt, but my cord melted and triggered the camera from the heat melted the cord after it was already protected. It also melted my MyOps unit.
Oh, no.
But my MyOps unit still works.
Okay.
So it's the first time I've actually burnt up a piece of gear, and it still works. And then I was able to mount up on top, mount a camera down, showing, like, the, you know, the downward of the stand.
This is crazy.
Again, back up, you know, just different angles. Again, telling their story of this is what they are producing. They're producing a second stage engine that's going to be able to exit the atmosphere and then deorbit and come back down and be able to be reused. And that's the big thing here, is that reusability. So just being able to show those different stages of launch.
These pictures are amazing.
Of what's going on. You can see even there, you can see the little mock diamonds that are happening with the shock diamonds, those little circles that are happening. That's it burning very efficiently. So those are the kind of things you need to see. So we're able to capture all that with these shots.
Wow.
So. Yeah, look at that. That's when the hydrogen basically right in the beginning just explodes.
Right.
You know, because right now they're just venting out into nowhere. So very cool stuff, huh? So yeah, and there's a wide shot of the stand. So you can see like that was the test stand. We're out in the winter. It was freezing. But it was just really cool, that environment that it can create.
Holy cow. Those are amazing. Yeah. Nobody's got those shots but you, man.
No.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah, that's well done. Yeah, good job, man.
Thank you.
All right, now, as promised, I have a Photoshop tip for you. Mm-hmm. Actually, the tip I'm going to show you, it technically is a Photoshop tip, but you can do this also in Lightroom. So it's, you know, consider it both, but I still have a Lightroom tip coming a little later. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I got to steal the cable. We got a cable issue here, so all right.
Yeah.
We're going to steal this cable. Give me a sec here. I have to resize my window. Once it kicks in, don't move, don't breathe, don't make a sound. All right, got it. All right, so take a look on screen. Photoshop tip, yeah, okay. All right, so this can be done, like I said, in either Lightroom or Photoshop, because we're going to go up here into the filter menu, and we're going to choose the camera raw filter. Mm-hmm. That is the exact same thing as the develop module in Lightroom. They are the same sliders in the same order. They do the same thing. Let's choose camera raw filter. Here's what we're going to do. And this is a very, very, very popular thing in portrait photography, especially in fashion and commercial photography for portraits. And that is this. We're going to go to the masking icon. We're going to click on the masking icon. All right. Now we're going to go choose, this is surprising, we're going to choose select background. And it does quite an amazing job of selecting the background. Now, scroll down in the panel here, and there is a thing called color. So this allows you to pick. Now, the red tint just shows you what it selected. It didn't make it red. It's still gray. And by the way, I shot this, and I shoot a lot of things on a gray background. Because with a gray background, if you want to create a composite, it works really, really well. Photoshop loves a gray background as far as removing somebody from their background and putting them on a different background. Mm-hmm. But it's also great for being able to add texture or change color or anything like that. So let's do that. If I want to change the color, go to color, and it brings up a color picker. And then all you have to do, and as soon as you touch any color, it's going to make that background that color. So you could make it kind of a green to be complementary with what she's wearing, and you could lower the saturation if you want to make it kind of light, or you can choose you know, a contrasting color. You can choose whatever you want, but it's ready to go. And that tint, and that's because you're on gray. This will also work on black with real lights, like if you would want to do it in the studio. So this is a way for you to color the background without having to add lights in the studio and stuff like that. Now, I'm going to add one more little thing to this. Let me click OK. This next part cannot be done in Lightroom. That can be done in Lightroom, absolutely. And we did it. I'm not crazy about the color. I just it's kind of lame. And all right, but I'm going to take it one more step further. But while I do this, look at Mr. Kuna, because I have to grab another. Yeah. I forgot to open the second
image. Well, hey, everybody.
Hang on.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool for being able to add a little color to your edits. Like, in this, you got to think that applies for everything we're talking about here. Not only could you add color, but like you said, you can add or remove texture. You can add and remove different brightnesses.
Yeah.
You can even put in different backgrounds.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a background texture. So it's just another file. Mm-hmm. So take a look at my screen. So I just opened up like a background texture. So select all and copy. All right, and then I'm just going to copy and paste it right on top of our image. Whoops, our image is, the texture is really small apparently. It doesn't matter, you can stretch it because what we're going to do with it. Now, I want to get this in over my image. All right, now it's covering it, right? Mm-hmm. So you would change the blend mode probably to overlay or soft light. But one thing I don't like about it is it's in color. So there is a keyboard shortcut to make it black and white. Shift, Command, U. That takes out the color. Shift Command U on Mac would be Shift Control U on Windows PC. And then you can go choose. If you go through here, you can find any color that you like, right? So let's say that any blend that you want. Let's go with probably overlay or soft light. Soft light looks pretty good in this situation. The only problem is you've given her a really bad case of eczema. Mm-hmm. So it's all over her face and everything. So, right? So that's why you want to be able to go over here and choose Select Subject. It selects her. Then all you have to do is go to your texture layer and hit Delete. And now you've got the texture on its own separate layer. It's not going over her at all. And you can lower this and have it kind of blend in to wherever you want to give you a textured background. So that shooting on gray really sets you up for so much. And that's the number one color I'm going to wind up using in the studio, is just a light to medium gray. And you can just buy white paper and not light it, and then it becomes gray. If you buy white paper and you don't put lights on it, it is gray.
It is always gray.
It'll not show up as white. You gotta light the living crap out of it.
And wouldn't you say if you're gonna buy like one background, it would be just a white one because of the versatility of it?
Yeah, because figure it this way. White is white if you put lights on it. Move your subject back 10 feet, it's light gray. Move them 12 feet or 13 feet away, it's dark gray. Move them 14 feet away, it's black. Yeah. It's one roll of paper that does like four rolls. All right, now.
It's a little bonus tip.
Eric's going to give some shout outs real quick.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to our topic with Kirk, because Kirk has been very patient, just sitting here hanging out, looking at Eric's pictures, watching a Photoshop tip, and he's like, I probably invented that tip, Scott's showing. Anyway, here we go.
Yeah, so we got John joining us all the way from Maryland saying hi, Natalie saying hi from Ontario. John saying hi from Kansas City, James saying hi from Phoenix, Lynn from Mississippi, Mike joining us from Louisville, Kentucky, Alex saying hi from Aberdeen, the Mad Scientist FPV and TJ is saying hello from North Georgia, Philip Columbus saying hi from Newport News, Virginia, Robert saying hi from Ocala. I think looking to win the V-flats. We'll see if we win the V-flats there. And then Shane saying hi. Lisa saying hi to the Grid family from Atlanta. Gordon saying hi from Hamilton. Oh, boy, it just keeps on going. So we got all these people joining us. And then Rick Salmon all the way from Delray Beach.
Florida. Florida.
He'll be live with us next month.
Because he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's Rick Salmon. All right.
And John Duke is wondering when I'm going to be giving away one of Eric Kuna's Tommy Bahama shirts. Never. I love them.
He's very, very protective of his. Very protective. Embarrassingly so, by the way.
Yep.
All right. So, Kirk.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are things in your world?
I'm doing all right. I have the sinking chair, by the way.
You must have
the sinking chair. Oh, he's got the sinking chair.
Finally, somebody else feels the pain.
Thank you to my team. Look, I'm already shorter than Eric. I'm already over here. So, you know, somebody else has got the sinking
chair. It's me this time.
Man, I've been dreaming of this day.
So the sinking chair is a paid cast member, is what I've learned.
It is. It's a paid cast member, and they know. They know their cue. All righty. So, Kirk.
Yes.
Is there any gear, anything at all that you could think of? One, maybe two pieces of gear that have changed the way you shoot. I would love to hear what those are. I'm sure our audience would even love to hear that.
Yeah, probably. Yes, actually, there are. So the first one I want to talk about, I got to set it up a little bit first. I work with a lot of youth sports teams. So, and actually they're clubs. So they're more than just one team. There's like eight or nine teams within the club. So we're talking about, you know, player portraits for like 150 athletes. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever done mass shooting like that before, you know, it can get rather rote, rather routine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get the setup, you know how it is. You hang the backdrop, you get the lights, you get it set up, you put your camera on the tripod, like here, hold the game ball, smile, turn this way, smile. And you end up with some decent shots. So I get shots that are good. The athletes like them.
I think you're looking at Scott.
They're fine. The athletes like them. The parents like them. They pay me for them, which is great. But every time I do this, there's a little piece of me that's like, I think there's so much more we can do here.
Yes.
Right. Because it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, this is
hard because you're doing that rinse repeat.
Rinse repeat constantly. So what I found are these things called Pro Light Mods. It's like an overlay that goes over the softbox, and you put them back there, and they look like stadium lights.
Wow. I've seen these. Yeah.
These are so cool.
Dude, these are killer.
These change the way I do these shots. It just, like, the creativity of it just, like, exploded then. Because it's like, oh, this is really cool.
You were the first person I've known that's used them.
So much with these, and they're so easy. It's literally just like a piece of canvas with holes cut in it that you just put right over your softbox.
You know what? I got to say, I was really impressed with Eric's shots, but now I realize his shots are trash.
No,
they're absolutely trash.
That's true. Of course, I'm just joking.
But dude, come on. These are great.
I know. So immediately my prices went up once I started doing
Dude, these are fantastic.
And it's so fun to do, too, because the players are into it. The coaches are there. They're like, yes, this looks awesome.
So this is two regular softboxes.
Regular softboxes.
With literally a cover over the outside of the softbox.
Yep, there's a Velcro rim that just goes along the outside.
I saw these, and I was like, I got to get those.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I think you got to start playing with them.
Oh, yeah. Now I got them. Well, you're the first person I've talked to that used them.
Yeah, they're so easy.
Dude, there they are.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, sold out. We got to get more.
Yeah. Oh, these are great.
These are so good. So fully.
Can we see some of those pictures again?
Yeah.
That last one is.
Yeah, go ahead.
That one is killer.
That one right there. Admittedly, that was probably like the 12th take on that, just to try to get her positioning there between the lights and get the. And yeah, I did buy a smoke machine too. But, you know,
smoke machines are great.
They're so fun.
And they're inexpensive.
Well, they're not expensive.
And then you can use them at Halloween and New Year's and other parties.
Sure. Yeah. Because, like, people come to me, hey, can we use your smoke machine? We're throwing a party. No, I'm like, problem. Yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, that's fun.
Dude, you have impressed.
Yay!
Now you are. You, it doesn't even matter how good or bad your next one is, because you've set the bar high with this very cool. The chair.
That's the only thing. The chair's going to get them.
Okay, so the next one is actually just a little bit more fun.
Okay.
And I have to give credit to my wife. It's literally this orange striped chevron couch that I take to so many places. So I've put this thing out in the middle of fields like this. I've put it on like mountaintops. I've put it out in like snowy wooded areas. I put it on bridges. Like, I've taken it to wedding shoots, to fall shoots.
Can we go back?
Yeah.
I don't believe that sun was really there.
Why would you say something like that? Because I'm good at Photoshop?
Yes.
Oh, gee.
It looks great, though. It looks so great. It looks so good.
And the great thing about this couch is it's that whole interrupted pattern idea. Because this couch belongs nowhere. It doesn't match with anything. Right. It interrupts everything. So we end up taking it. And it's just this a couch is one of my favorite outdoor. Ones.
Oh,
it's just
that's
a couch,
so
right?
Good.
Right? If we picked this up at Home Goods for like $80 or something, and
really?
It's literally just, it right. doesn't fit in our house.
Hey, Kirk, can I interrupt?
Sure.
Dude, do you love Home Goods or what? It's the greatest. I'm telling you. Home Goods for the money is so, I can go there with my wife and we're like there for an hour and a half.
Right?
It's so good.
There's so many things there. And now I go in and I'm just looking for props.
If you find something at Home Goods, you better buy it.
Because
it's not going to be there, the next time.
Constantly changing.
Boy, this show just got weird.
Dude, I love Home Goods. Look how great
that
looks.
We all love Home Goods.
I know. It turns out so good. And so now, like, anytime I'm scouting a location, I'm always looking for where can I put my couch? Where can I put it? And when clients contact me, they're like, hey, we're thinking of the shoot or something. And I'm like, so I've got this couch. And they're like, what? I'm like, just let me bring the couch. They're like, we don't really need your couch.
Oh, we have this idea.
I'm like, but you need the couch.
You need that couch.
You gotta try the couch.
So it sounds like you just start showing up with the couch.
I do. I literally do.
As much as I like, I do really like this one because it's downtown and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But what I really like is the first one with the doggo.
Of course.
That first one?
Well. Yeah.
That is just too perfect. Was that sun really
there? Yes, that one was there. I may have intensified
it. It looks like it might be enhanced.
Maybe a little bit more there. But
that's
this was
such a great shot.
Thank you.
That's a great photo, so, and of course, the post-processing is fantastic.
So, and shout out to the very kind park ranger who wasn't thrilled that I was arranging furniture in a Civil War battlefield, but still let me do this. So.
Look, if you're going to put furniture in a Civil War battlefield, it should be that orange zigzaggy couch.
Right?
It
feels like something that should be on a Civil War battlefield.
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with these
tips.
Thank
you.
These tips are phenomenal. And you know what? It's not the regular stuff.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Gosh.
You came in thinking I was going to be like off-camera slash change my life.
Do you know the amount of pressure this puts on Sam Haddock, our next guest, because he's got to bring it big. He's a really good photographer.
He's a fantastic
photographer. He's an adequate guitar player.
Now, that's what I'm thinking. He might just go and just start talking about guitars, and then Scott will be fine.
Then I'll be like,
"Going to take off."
Really? What?
What?
You know, Sam came to the office a couple years ago, and basically, you know, he's here doing work, right? He's doing a class or whatever for it up, and we spend all this time in my office, and he was giving me guitar lessons, and I'm videotaping him doing stuff and teaching me stuff. He's really good. He makes me mad enough with his photography and his guitar. He went to the Berklee School of Music. He's like up there. He's up there. Way up. He's in the rafters.
So we'll see. Maybe he'll be talking about guitars when he comes on.
I hope so. Gosh, I sold so many of mine. It's embarrassing. Oh,
I know. You only have like 20 now.
12?
No, I have like 20 something. But I had 41. I'm down to like 23 or something horrible.
I just think you're becoming, you know, it's just balance.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's simplifying my life.
Yeah, there you go. Simplifying.
All right. Well, Kirk, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Those tips are flipping awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
And your photography's great.
Thanks.
Your post is ridiculous. But your creativity is wonderful.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
Well, I love the tips because that's the thing is you're talking about things that it's not this fancy new piece of gear.
No.
It's something. It actually was stuff in the shots. Like,
right.
You know, the thing is you didn't need to buy new lighting. You bought a grid for your lighting.
Right.
You didn't need to buy a new camera. You just brought a couch.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Great shots here.
Hey, thank you.
Now, was that basketball really on fire?
Yeah, we had to take him to the hospital. No, of course not.
I know. Jeez. Even I knew that basketball was not actually on fire. Oh, Kirk, I had such high hopes for you.
Well, we do have to take another break.
Let's do that.
Let's take a break.
We have a Lightroom tip coming up.
Lightroom tip will come back.
Guess which pictures I'm using? I think you already know. Anyway, we'll be right back.
What if you could hire an extra set of hands just to deal with editing your photos? And what if this assistant was thinking and editing exactly like you? With Imagine, this is not a distant dream. Introducing your new personalized AI Lightroom Classic editing assistant. It analyzes your unique editing style down to the very last detail and applies that style instantly and uniquely to every new photo from your Adobe Lightroom catalogs. Whether it's color correction, cropping, or straightening, Imagine's AI assistant knows what needs to be done based on your previous edits. The AI constantly learns your unique point of view and improves. with just a few clicks. Imagine edits your photos in your personal style faster than ever. It takes less than half a second per photo at all volumes. Now you can finally have the time to scale up your business and win back free time. In addition to creating your own personal AI profile, you can also use one of our pre-built talent AI profiles if you are uncertain about your unique style or just want to explore the signatory styles of leading photographers. Your new AI assistant is here to deliver. Achieve amazing results right from the first frame and maintain the highest level of precision in each and every photo. Starting at only a few cents per photo, you get fantastic value for your money and save hours of work. So say goodbye to hours of tedious manual editing and to presets that distort your photos and underdeliver. And say hello to the future.
If you're thinking of traveling and using the iPhone as your camera, or if you're thinking of using it as your second camera when you travel, you gotta check out my brand new class on shooting travel with the iPhone. One of the great things about the iPhone, besides it's very lightweight and you already are carrying it anyway and it's connected to the internet and all that stuff, there are certain things that you can do on your phone that are actually much easier and much more fun to do on your phone than it is to do on your mirrorless or your DSLR. There are so many advantages, and what I'm gonna do in this class is we're gonna start off by going through a bunch of different camera settings. I want to get you set up with your camera for maximum success when you do travel. Then, after that, we're going out on location. We're in the beautiful Tuscany region of Italy. We're going to go in town, we're going to go on location, and you're going to see it all done. Now, that's part one. I got a part two where we'll do all the post-processing as well. Come with me to Tuscany so I teach you how to use your iPhone to get the best travel pictures you've gotten with a phone in your entire life. People won't believe you took those photos with a phone. So come and join me for my new class on travel photography using your iPhone.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Canon.
Hey-o, we're back, and joining us now, what we call at the end of the table, by the way, he specially requested for a non-shrinking chair. We swapped out chairs. Sam Haddix, welcome to the show, Sam.
Thank you, thank you. And I truly need all the help I can get with not sinking in a chair.
This is not your first time.
We've confirmed that this is the non-sinking chair.
He's been on the grid many times, many times. But we're glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here.
And you do not have to do any guitar lessons today.
Well, you know,
even though Scott will not complain if you do.
You know, you're talking about guitars and you're talking about gear, and then I was like, oh, I have like exactly the photo that we should talk about, and also like kind of some new gear that went into making it. Ooh, some of which was like, nice. Some of which is really expensive and some of which is really not expensive, which is cool. But it was all new and it kind of came together and
well,
made
sometimes
for
in life you gotta spend a little money and sometimes you can save a little money.
Right, there exactly. Exactly. So we recently picked up a Canon R3, which is
nice
bananas. It's amazing, but the thing with it's like the first camera that we've had that actually does like person face tracking really, really well, so that my job is no longer really like behind the camera fiddling with buttons. It's like interacting a lot more with my subject and being able to just kind of press the shutter and, you know, if I have all my settings right, I don't really have to worry about moving a focus point around or that sort of thing. It's been a total game changer. Obviously, that's the very expensive piece of gear. I also started kind of messing around recently with, how can I incorporate some AI stuff into my photography in a way that's not like me typing in like, here's what I'd like to see, and it comes up, I'm like, this is my artwork, because that's a whole, I'm sure you can do many, many grid episodes about AI. But so what I did, I had a shoot recently with a friend of mine who's a phenomenal jazz guitarist, so I knew it would bring it around to guitar sooner than later. He's an incredible guitarist, and I was like, I want to give him something amazing for the cover of his album, I want to do something different. So I was like, what if I feed the title tracks from his album into an AI generator, see what it spits out. I'll toss that through a projector. I'll project it onto him and the guitar and that sort of thing. And then I'll use some kind of fun in-camera techniques to like get some cool colors and lighting effects happening.
That's what I would have done.
Well,
so, yeah, it sounds so easy.
Hey, there it is. So I sent this to you as soon as I shot it, Scott. I sent this to you, and I was like, dude, if there's anyone that's going to appreciate this.
Well, this is a wonderful photo, and I have seen it. But I didn't realize the AI was going on there.
Yeah, so that's the inexpensive thing that has started to change the way that I work. This was like a $2 AI app. You know what I mean? And it doesn't make any really great AI artwork, but it does make like some abstract, colorful stuff out of whatever words I feed into it. And I figure even though that doesn't necessarily translate, it's not like a one for one, oh, clearly I put in these words. It gave me something to work with, something that I wouldn't have chosen by myself.
I think it's much more clever than I originally thought it was.
Oh, thank you.
I thought this picture was really, really cool. Now I'm like, it's deep.
I'll take it.
It's deep.
On the other end, we're shooting in my garage. You know what I mean? It's not like a very fancy setup. It's just...
And I think what's interesting about that, because we could talk about AI forever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you really think about, like, the use of AI... You're just leveraging our past knowledge, because that's what an AI is leveraging off of, is learning, right? And just pulling out stuff that you probably have in your brain. Mm-hmm. It just takes us longer to access it, and that's able to access it pretty quick. So, like, why not give yourself a little cheat sheet or, like, a little, like, you know, quick roadmap to something?
Yeah.
So that's what I do find it very, very helpful for, like, giving you ideas, right?
Exactly.
Exploring creativity.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, the colors and the patterns that it chose, you know, made me shoot in a particular way than maybe I wouldn't have shot had it given me different colors or different patterns.
You know, that guitar player, you mentioned him. If he needs lessons or something, I could help him.
What's funny is he was my guitar teacher growing up. So I've known him for like 30 years or something like that. And he is the most ridiculous guitar player I've ever met.
I could help him. Yeah, I could absolutely. Dude, I could show him some stuff. He'd be very, he'd be suicidal when we're done.
Yeah. the chord of destiny. You could show him how to do that.
The chord of destiny. Yeah. That's a ninth. Anyway, wow. Okay, that is. I'm seeing this picture in a whole new light. That is really cool. I'm amazed at your creativity. Same with Kirk. I'm always so impressed with the creativity. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there's one thing what we can do in a camera, but there's another thing in thinking of those ideas. Like when you said, I'm gonna take the tracks, titles, and put them into AI, and then project them. I'm like, you had me. I'm barely gonna type. Much less go through the taking out a projector now. We're going to project. That's amazing. Hey, I'm going to interrupt really quick because I have to leave in 9 minutes.
Yes.
You guys do not have to go. I can slide out of here. You guys can go as long as you want. Mm-hmm. But I have to go in 9 minutes.
Yes.
However, I got to do a Lightroom tip, and then we have a trivia thing. So let's do the Lightroom tip. Hey, they actually got this thing. Lightroom tip. I thought it might be just hanging there when I said, let's do the Lightroom tip. I thought it was just going to hang there. All right. So take a look on screen. This is one of those things that I'll bet you didn't know. Someone knows it, but not many people. I'm plugged in. Unplug and plug back in? Sure, why not?
I worked at Apple for 10 years, and that was the solution to 99% of the problems.
The next one is reboot.
Okay, is it working?
Reboot.
Yep.
If that didn't
work. Okay. So take a look on screen. So this is, you know how, especially at the start of a shoot, this is a weird thing. And Sam, tell me if you've ever had this happen. Mm. Like you're doing test shoots and you're kind of working on the lights. And then you look at the shoot later and one of your favorite shots is in the first four frames or something. Isn't that weird how that will happen? Well, in the first four frames, usually my exposure isn't right. Like I'm not using a light meter and you know. Mm-hmm. So in this, take a look at this situation. This is a shoot I did a few years ago. But you'll notice that the exposures are kind of all over the place. Some are brighter, some are darker. Now, I deselected this one because I did that trick that I just showed earlier where I made the background. I took the color from her hair and made it the color of the background. So anyway, I took that one out. But you can see that some are brighter and some are darker and stuff. Right. And, you know, as you're closing in, the background gets darker, different stuff. All right. So you choose which one you think has the exposure you like. So you're going to hold the command key or shift or whatever and just choose the one that you want. Now, when you click on one, you notice how one photo is brighter? That is what Adobe calls the most selected photo. So whichever photo is you click on and is the brightest photo, that is the one that is the most selected. That's what, literally what it's called.
That's the official term.
Yep. So most I'm going to select both of them. But I want you to look down here in the film strip. So you can see I've selected a number of photos down here, right? Mm-hmm. Except for that one that I made brown. Okay. Here's what you do. You want them all to be the same exposure, right? Just go under the, you have to be in the develop module, right? So look down. That's why I have to, you have to see this strip down at the bottom. Go under settings. And what you're going to choose is match total exposures. And it's going to match the exposures of the other photos with the photo that is the most selected photo. Did you see them all change?
Yeah.
That's what it does. So whichever one that you have clicked on, it's going to take the other photos so they all have the similar exposure.
Well, I've never. Nice. Did you sneak that option in there just now?
I did. Just I wrote it into the program. So just so people will ask later, where was
match
that?
Total exposure.
It's two things. You have to be in the develop module is number one, and number two, it is under the settings menu, which seems like kind of a weird place for it to be, but there it is. Match total exposures.
And then it's going to match the exposure to the most selected
photo. To the most selected photo. So the most selected photo was darker than some of those in that case.
Got it.
And it made all of them kind of have a very similar exposure.
That's, I can say I've never used that one.
Lightroom tip!
Never used that one.
All right.
But I will see myself using it.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very, very handy. Especially at the beginning of the shoot where your light, you have a lot of variance in the, you know, lights where you're, you know, oh, let's try a half a stop brighter. Let's try, you know. All right, Mr. Cooney, you got a trivia question? What are we giving away for the trivia question?
Oh, that's a good question.
Are we giving away the ebook of my...
I don't know. Which, no? What we were giving away?
We're giving we're giving away.
It, shoot it, retouch it.
Light it, shoot it, retouch
it. So we got a trivia question, and actually I found this... All right, so trivia. We got a trivia question here. I always forget we got the fancy intros now.
I know, it's so exciting.
Right? So, here's the question. You all know I'm a space guy, right? So I'm going to bring it to space.
He's a space cowboy.
All right, so we took cameras to the moon on Apollo 11, right?
Yes.
You know what kind they were?
I do.
Yeah?
No, I don't know the brand. I mean, I know the brand.
Yeah, so what brand? You can say it.
Hasselblad.
It was a Hasselblad, right?
It was a Hasselblad.
So we took 12 of them to the surface of the moon. How many of those cameras returned to Earth? How many of those cameras?
First person to answer the right question. And you know it's a number between 1 and 12.
1 and 12.
And oddly, it's 13.
And right, Sam, did you have any other tips, Sam?
Oh, any other tips?
I texted it to you.
All right. So Christina knows that. Ooh.
Oh,
here's
wow.
Sam's stuff.
Hey, some of these are kind of nice.
Dude, look at that. Now, I recognize some people here. Is that Kaylee in the second?
Yep.
How did you get her to pose for you? It's very hard to get Kaylee. She's, you know, she's very popular.
Yep. Wow. She's extremely popular.
I see Hilmar down in the right corner.
Yep. A lot of friends, a lot of familiar faces. Yeah, we did a couple.
I love your portrait work.
Oh, thank you.
There's Kaylee again.
On the Salt Flats. Is this close to where
Dave
you're
Williams?
Going in Utah?
Do I see Dave Williams?
There's a Dave Williams.
God.
Who right now, I believe, is on the moon. Someplace crazy.
All right. I think we got a winner. All right.
All right. All right.
So John Gerard is one. The answer is zero. We actually did not return any of the cameras. They opted to leave the Hasselblad cameras on the face of the moon in order to gain the weight back to take rocks back to Earth.
All right, so let me get this straight. If I go to the moon on my own, I'm getting free 12 Hasselblad cameras?
They're there, waiting for somebody.
I know a guy who knows a lot about rocket stuff. Dude, I'm going to the moon and coming back with 12 Hasselblads.
We did... Remember to take the film out of the camera.
Oh, though. That's good.
So we took that.
That's good.
There we go.
Now, well, wait a minute, though. And I need you to be honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that whole thing just faked in Hollywood? Come on.
No comment. And the Earth's flat, too, right?
It's absolutely,
absolutely
flat.
Yep.
It's absolutely flat.
All right. Well, speaking of flat, we got some winners here on the prizes. We have Carolyn winning in a B flat.
That's a pretty good transition. Yeah, right? I'll give it to you.
Segue.
She's winning a B flat duo board. And then
pro.
Mike Worley's winning just the V flat.
Hey,
and then Dave Young is winning the On One software. We got Doris Ford winning your travel photography book. Dorks. And then Richard Windsor winning the Planet Pot clamp and the arm, which was around here. I don't know where it went, but it, yeah, I think it was cleared off because we got so many people on the desk now.
I have to go in 41 seconds. Can I show you my new toy?
Yes.
Yep.
Can you reach it?
Yes.
So look what I got.
Woo.
I got the Peak Design. This, my brother got me this for Christmas. Mm. It is the Peak Design tripod,
yes,
which is ridiculously lightweight and ridiculously expensive. So this is carbon fiber.
My favorite travel tripod.
Yeah, this has a ball head on it. It comes with a ball head. It's carbon fiber. It's ridiculously lightweight. I mean ridiculously for it. I haven't actually used it yet. This is going to, its first outing is going to be Switzerland. Switzerland.
Oh, anyway, love that. It goes right in the backpack too. It's great.
Yeah, this is really, really small.
For a travel
tripod. It'll fit in just whatever. But
super light.
This was
super light.
This was like $586 on sale at B&H. And so my brother said, hey, I want to get you something special for Christmas. And he was going to get me this like plug-in for my studio. And he's like, no, I want something else. I'm like, well, you really sure?
You really
be
sure?
Careful what you ask for. No, I want to get you something really nice. I said, there's this tripod I've had my eyes on from Peak Design. And this, now they make an aluminum version. See, it's, yeah, it's normally $649. And I think he got it for $589. But you can get a pre-owned one for $475, which it actually, I'd have been fine with that. They make the aluminum, but this is the carbon fiber.
You can also, sometimes they'll run specials on them every once in a while.
Well, they need to because they're quite expensive.
They are a little pricey.
But didn't they did this on Kickstarter and literally made millions. They had millions in sales.
No, I love it. I love how the ball heads attach into it there and it kind of compacts down. And like, yeah, this can fit right in my backpack, like right where, this is like where maybe like your 100 to 400 would fit.
And Eric's down to a medium backpack. Okay, I have to go.
No,
what we're going to do is we're going to go one up on Eric and I'm going to sneak out and you guys do whatever you got to do. Go as long as you want, but I've got to go. You don't want my daughter sitting outside of school going like, hey, where's dad?
I'm not sure we have much else to do, but we'll let you go and we'll wrap up the show here.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, let's show Sam's website. Sam, it was lovely seeing you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry we didn't get to jam.
Next time.
And definitely check out Sam's website over at
samhaddocksphotography.com. Very creative.
Samhaddocksphotography.com. Right? And I mean, Kaylee's right over there. She can come on the show right now if she wants.
Yeah, episode 2.
Episode 2. So look it, we got another guest joining us in the studio. Here's Kaylee Greer. Wow.
Did I go low enough or did I come right in front of the camera?
Nah.
Okay.
It totally worked.
Sorry, I did the best I could. I got low as I could. I need the sinking chair.
How's it going?
I got Scott's mic and everything. How'd
look
I get so
that.
Official?
It's like, it's like a new show.
We're going
to start over.
Start over.
Top 5 things people don't know about Scott Kelby.
Let's see. First, he takes his own keto buns everywhere we go for like lunch. So if you're like having like a burger or he'll order like chicken sandwich, he'll have his own bun with him. So just something you might not know.
That's Kaylee's nickname for me, is Keto Buns.
Nice, there you go. Sam has been doing this thing though where he fasts every night. So starting at what time? Like about 10 p.m. he stops eating. And then he doesn't eat again until the next day at like 1 o'clock. Actually, fun fact, Sam has not eaten a thing yet today. Because you're in ketosis.
I'm surprised.
Is that correct?
I'm surprised these mice have not picked up my stomach. Right.
Yes.
Because they're so hungry.
I am in weight loss mode myself, but that's self-induced because I've got like a bunch of back problems going on
fair.
So, but I know that's what I need to do. Let's think. I'm trying to think of another thing. You said 5 things that we don't know about Scott. Let's think. What? Scott is really into disco music. I did not know that. I found out about it earlier. He's like really into that disco music. He loves that stuff.
I could see that. I've seen him pulling up in his Tesla.
Like 80s too, 80s disco. Yeah, yep. Loves it.
He's blaring Ring My Bell or some other
nonsense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There you go. Well, what's something somebody might not know about you two?
We met at a Halloween party where I was dressed up as the head of a horse and Sam was dressed up as the bottom of a horse.
This is not true.
No, it's not true, but wouldn't that be a cool way for us to meet?
That would be really cool. It'd be really cool, but at the same time, very odd.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what awkward. Kismet? What serendipity that would be?
That would be. So. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? Like, what's next on for you guys this year?
Are we allowed to talk about like another conference? I know that you guys have had like a lot of.
We have conferences.
Shut it down. Shut up.
Christina's like, no.
We are having a dog photography conference. Wow. It's there you so go. Crazy. Yeah. Can you imagine that there is enough? There are enough photographers now in the world that specialize only in dog photography.
Oh, I can believe it.
Yeah,
I can believe
it. We're about to have a whole conference in Vegas. Yeah. So we're finally having one.
Awesome.
You know, kind of post-pandemic world is finally opening back
up. That's awesome.
So it's kind of
exciting. No, I mean, that's what we were just talking about that at lunch today. I mean, I love, we love to RV because we love taking our dogs everywhere with us.
Oh my God. So. I didn't know about your dogs. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have two poodles.
No way, really? Poodles. Are they standard poodles or are they little poodles?
One's a toy poodle, one's a miniature poodle. My daughter has the toy poodle and he's ridiculous. He's just ridiculous.
Is he black, white, brown? What
he's
do you got going
a
on there?
Red. He's a red. So he's a red poodle. And then we have a brown, like miniature poodle.
Yeah, cool. Know? I love it.
But that's they're total opposites too. You know, one's like totally about my wife and one's totally about my daughter. And then I'm here in the middle, like I'm just the guy who feeds you.
That's so funny. Do they love to travel? How do they do in the RV?
Oh, they love it. They absolutely love it. Aww. I mean, that's what I do love about that style of travel is because we can have our dogs with us all the time. Mm-hmm. And then still see all the United States. I mean, there's just so many beautiful parts of it.
That is the thing. I know it's amazing. We're going to drive when we do our conference later this year in September. Yeah. We're going to drive from New Hampshire to Vegas. So it'll be a good, solid road trip. Although we don't have an RV, so that'll be interesting. We'll just be in a car.
It makes it way more enjoyable. I will say it makes it way more enjoyable.
I just need to, you know, come up with an extra $85K to get a nice one.
Yeah, we love it. But yeah, no, it's just great. Great way to travel. So, but all right. Well, I don't have anything else to add. I know we've been trying to drag this out.
It's all good.
What else? Does anybody have any questions for the two of them? Because we're just keep on
we're
going
here. For a few minutes.
So,
hey, if we're just plugging stuff too, we got a new podcast.
Oh,
that we're
look at him doing. Go. We did. Yeah. Does he have some sort of ulterior motive for being here today?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
So you can go listen to their podcast. You got the conference. Let's see what else we got. We're going to be announcing a conference next week. So you're probably going to want to stay tuned for that. There'll be another conference coming next week.
That's exciting.
Let's see what else. Yeah definitely check out Kaylee's work over at her website, Sam's work over at his website. Check out what Scott Kelby workshops to check out that workshop. So you want to check out that Milky Way workshop, hit it over at my website. And then let's see, we got the Nightscapers conference coming up, and then the Depth of Field conference and the Outsiders conference. So tons of stuff coming up.
If you want to take your photography to the next level, this is the year to do it. There seem to be a lot of opportunities out there for learning.
Well, it's I think what it is, you know, and this like we could go after this, but I think what's interesting about it is we always try to provide outlets at any stage in people's journey, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that they're just at the stage where they just need to like have a class, watch something, kind of take the next step. And then there's some people that are like, well, I need to be interactive more in like a community or forums or something like that. And then some people get to that point where they're like, okay, I've done that, but now I actually need to like get out there and maybe go to a conference or go to a workshop. Mm. Those are why those things are there.
Yeah. So,
I think that's what it is you just got to find out where you are in that path, because I think sometimes too, people jump way over here too, when they're not ready to even go there, you know, 100%. Where they're already trying to like go out and do like a full blown workshops when they don't even know how to like basically use your camera.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's start with the basics and then work ourselves up and then we can get to that stage. So.
And there is a good place you can go to learn the basics.
I know, right?
www.kelby1.com.
I know. We don't like to plug it that much, but at the same time.
But here's the thing. I learned like everything that I know about photography from Kelby One. From Kelby1.com and from Sam Haddock's over there.
And look at that.
Full circle.
It did come full circle one day. Yeah.
Isn't that cool though?
I mean,
isn't
absolutely cool? Mind-blowing. And look at my little Junie's up there. That's my little sunshine banana pants, Junie. And I know it's a little hard to tell in that photo, but she only has three legs. So she's balancing up on that stump with the one front leg, and she's doing a killer job, I gotta say.
But that's what's amazing about dogs too, is they're so resilient with that stuff. We had a dog like that was younger. Yeah. The dog that was very attached to me. me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and yeah, it's just amazing what dogs are capable of, or what humans are, what we're all capable of.
Yeah,
so that's it's a beautiful truth. World. And that's why we're here. That's why we capture this stuff. That's why we're into photography. But thanks for joining us. We got to go. I know the team's like, you got to wrap it up. But Scott's workshop tickets will open at 6 p.m. tonight. So if you're wondering about that workshop, 6 p.m. tonight, check it out there over at scottkelbyworkshops.com. Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my gosh, of course.
And Kirk,
what a
thanks
fun
for coming in.
Impromptu and, appearance on the grid. Woohoo! I didn't know I was going to do that today.
Yeah, so yeah. So we'll see you all next week here on the grid.
Hey guys, I'm Tuvi and I'm going to show you two really cool products that we at V-Flat World sell. So the first one is our Duo Boards, which are double-sided hyper-realistic backdrops for food and product photographers. They come in two sizes. This is the larger side. We have all different types of textures and designs. These are some of the new ones that came out recently, and they also, there's a bag option available for them. And our other product, which is what we actually started the company with, it's called a V-flat. It's a foldable V-flat, and it's used for portrait and studio photographers to control light on their subjects, to either add light with the white side or use the black side to subtract light or even block like an unwanted window light coming in.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the world's most compact tripod base.